And Mabum and I decided I was a balladeer. So tonight I'm reading you four story poems. And the first one is about a real experience. I'll tell you if they're real or totally fictional. Three young white teachers who started out teaching in the black community and didn't know anything. The first one is me in 1969. The second one is another teacher. All teachers told me the stories. This is my version, 1992, and the final one, 2002. It's called Hey Teacher, Older Community Black Men Encourage Young White Female Teachers. Nice title. Okay, number one. With four cohorts from Mount Mercy, she took the Loop bus to the Hill for 10 weeks to learn the art of teaching from Lou Mackey. She was a pre-service teacher, a teacher in training, spring of 1969. Each trip, the five naive pre-service teachers, no experience in the black community, walked down two blocks past bars, stores, Ham's Barbershop, from Elmore Square to Weill Elementary, at day's end, back up to bus stop. "Don't be nervous, teachers, we don't bite," sang out the older men walking down center or clumped, smoking at Ham's. They laughed out loud, and when the teachers nervously smiled back, they laughed again. 10 weeks passed, and she, always the most verbal of the five, took to quipping with the men. Wit answered wit. The other four relaxed and all enjoyed themselves. Then came election day in May, when parents, neighbors, elders flocked to Weill to vote. As the quintet left for the day, one man saw their leader, shouted joyfully, "Hey, teacher, mighty fine legs. Look at those big and lovely legs. What office are you running for? I'd vote for you for anything." She blushed from her toes up to the top of her flame-colored hair. Well, it was flame-colored then. Okay, two. Just out of Juniata, 1992. Brunette, slim and eager, white northerner from Pittsburgh. She took a fourth grade job in Tuscaloosa. Was surprised that housing was so mixed, though the students at her school were all black. She lodged just three blocks from school and walked. She loved the exercise, warmth, sun, but one thing bothered her intensely. Older black men all stepped off the sidewalk when she passed, stepped into the street till she was by. Polite but baffled, one day when she couldn't stand it, she approached an older man. As he stepped down as always, she whispered, "Oh, excuse me, please don't." He halted, turned, looked into her eyes and smiled. Tipped an imaginary hat and confided, "It's all right, young teacher, don't you fret, it's all right." With another smile, he turned back the way he'd come and left her standing solemn on the sidewalk. 3, May 2002. Knoxville Elementary, bright day, art festival. Kids race around the playground, baked goods, face painting, all their art attractively displayed along the gridiron railing. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. Raymond's granddad approaches Ms. Burnick. Today he wears a forest green fedora. Forest green jacket, too. He's always matched. "Nicely done, as always," Mr. Jones says with a grin. He stands, smiles. Miss Burnick came to Knoxville straight from college. Been there 3 years. "I wish Martin were alive. Bet he'd adopt you as a grandchild. You just see out of the right eyes." Her radiant smile is cue enough, so he continues. "Knew you'd understand. I knew it, baby girl. Keep up the good work." Both laugh as Raymond tugs on Grandpa's hands. Both nod and keep on circulating. That story was true. I'm a fiction writer, and I got better at it as I went along. I didn't tell my life and put in fake names. This is a completely fictional scenario that came to me. But when I finished, my character, Anne, was so spunky that I dedicated it to my very spunky friend back there, Daniela Buccilli. So this is called Talk to Her. The first day he saw her, sitting in the witness section, he stepped out of the courtroom, used his cell to call his boss at the Gazette, told him he was taking 2 weeks off. "Health crisis?" Norman asked, giving consent. When he responded, "No, emotional crisis," Norm said, "Same thing, not at all." Adam, reporting the murder trial scene for 6 exciting years, loved his job, loved his life, wanted someone guilty and behind bars. Afterwards, if he felt restless, went out for a drink, sometimes brought a brassy lassie home. But when he saw this unknown woman, whom he called the waif in his head, he felt he had to know her, be with her, couldn't explain it to himself. His heart hurt looking at her. her childlike face, sat through the day she wasn't called to witness, introduced himself when she rose to leave, Adam, asked if she'd have tea or coffee across the street from the courthouse. And, she said, not sure why I would. He knelt on the courtroom floor, please. She laughed, insurance salesman? No, I took a vacation from my job today. I'm a reporter, but want to meet you as a friend. Charlie, at the common plea, offered a sidewalk table, greeted Adam, smiled at Anne. She looked at him. Explain yourself. He couldn't. Kept twisting his hands in his lap. Finally, been a successful reporter till today. No regrets till now. Suddenly, I want a cleaner profession and a home, weekends off, with movies planned. Met a wholesome woman and want to ask her. She raised an eyebrow. Her mousy brown hair flopped over one eye. Really, she was adorable. She asked if he used that line often, but just then, Jake, who wrote for the Herald, sauntered up, laughed, and shrugged. Not your usual hot number, Adam. This your sister? Adam leaped up, fists at the ready. Okay, pal. The other reporter backed up. My bad. Sorry to interrupt. When Adam looked at her again, she was hiding a smile. He sat. I was a younger brother. Surprised at his ease in sharing, thought my brother ruled the world, followed him to law school. Not for me. I wanted to be a knight. And now, as you might imagine, thanks to my pal, I have a chance. Forgot my idealism along the way, but I guess you're my first princess. She was really smiling now. You know nothing, Jon Snow. He brightened. Like your taste in books, tell me more. Divorced. He belittled me. Abuse, I'm sure you'll agree. I don't trust many men, no brother. And what kind of movies do you like? All kinds, drama, fantasy, cartoons. What about a movie this Saturday, 2 days away? Yes, I'll meet you at the Regent. Kenneth Branagh's Much Ado About Nothing. No need for me to ride in someone else's car until I can trust more. Fair enough, until then, Lady Anne. He walked toward his downtown parking garage, putting each foot squarely down for fear he'd float away. I had such a nice time with him. I think Anne and Adam are going to be a wonderful couple later down the line. Okay, I come from the Rust Belt, so this is one of my salutes to that. It's called The Seven Crystal Layers of Pittsburgh. I pause, bicycle at my side on the Fort Pitt Bridge, crossing Pittsburgh's sparkling rivers. The sun shines bright for early February. Sparkling rivers still carry coal, not as much as when my coal mining Irish forefathers spent as much time under the earth as above it. But they never seem to lose their wit, their sparkling minds. Me, I pause to worry. We still burrow under the earth here, though now to tunnel under our rivers, a channel to sports arenas. Why, when we can walk across? Sparkling mines, above ground or underground, those who work under joke as they enter the elevator and are lowered down the shaft to work out of sunshine, away from sky. Something about the sky touches my mind, and I do mind somehow, that access to those seven crystal layers that the medieval folks thought surrounded the earth, leading to in prayerful steps to the light of heaven, are no longer so evident to our sparkling minds. And my last one is the story of a myth made up by me. I love colors, and I love the color green. I've written a whole chapbook about green. Someday I'll find a publisher. And this is the myth of absinthe. She laughs, green in her glory, under the alabaster of her complexion, a faint avocado hue. No longer does she trail wet mermaid hair. She shed her sparkling tail like a salamander, and like her, passed through flames hot enough to glow emerald gold. Her gown, green valleys where streamlets meander and twilight is fading. Krishna plays his nose flute, his face greener than blue. She has become the green man, waits for her darling brides, then swim the sea for her. Her apple perfume wafting from Avalon's Emerald Isle. They swim to land on her western shores. She is all things to all comers. She, cold, distant, shy, naive, reborn, or youthful, earthy, dancing hospitality into existence. Estrus, Gaia, breath like asparagus fronds, her kisses absinthe. Her coven of frogs, Mordred, Mab, Morgana, and Morning croak at her feet. Come dance, darlings, with the Witch of the Woods. Thank you.